Yeah, Father, we pray for all the saints participating. Amen. Do sanctify us once again and cleanse us thoroughly. Right. That our heart will be open to receive your living speaking. Amen. Give us a spirit of wisdom, understanding. Yeah, and we pray that you will shine into our heart. And that your speaking will be like a two-edged sword to pierce through into our heart. Amen. And will accomplish your will everywhere where saints are meeting together. Amen. May your name be glorified. And your will be done, Father. Amen. Amen. Well, this is really the situation of God's people, even after they came back from Babylon. You have to realize the whole background of the story. They were rebellious, they were worshiping idols. The 10 tribes, the northern tribes of Israel, they're all gone, actually. They were captive, spread throughout many nations. And finally, Judah also. Jerusalem was destroyed, a temple destroyed, and they were, brought into captivity in Babylon. Right. That was the situation. It is a horrible situation. Don't think it was good. I don't know if our situation is better today or not, but that was the background. And even after 70 years, they came back from Babylon. Their situations were not very good either. Right. And so you can read that in Ezra and Nehemiah. There are so many problems, really, so many problems. And history tells us after the fall of the Persian Empire, and the Grecian Empire came into power. And even after that, in the book of Daniel, you can already see in that book of truth, so much problems among God's people, really. And this is where the last book of Malachi came in. God was really angry, not very happy, to say the least. You can see how the Lord felt in his speaking. And of course, even after this speaking, there was no more speaking of God until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord used John the Baptist. But take a look at a situation when Jesus, the Messiah, was on this earth. Was it good? Definitely not very good. Right. I think you can read it in the Bible. In order for Gospels, they even want to get rid of the Messiah. They want to kill him. Look what they did to him. So the Lord even said, they'll do to me whatever they want. And finally they crucified him. That was not a very nice situation. So what about our situation today? Think about it. You might think it is not bad. You might think it is not bad. I don't know what you think. How do you assess the situation today? Hard to say, right? There are so many Christians, so many different groups. Right, but I must really say the groups that I know personally, what can I say? Are they really going on with the Lord? Practicing what they have been practicing for 40 years, for 50 years, no change. It is very sad. It's very sad. And especially there's one special group that I knew, and I met quite a few who just came out in recent years. It was really horrifying to hear the reports. And what about our condition today? What about our condition today? Is the Lord happy with our condition? You should ask that. Not if you're happy. You should ask if God is happy. You should realize that when God was talking to the priesthood, he's not just talking to the people, okay? I don't think God could talk to the people, because hey, if the priesthood is fallen, you can imagine, right, the condition of the whole nation at that time. Even the priests, they didn't realize. God says, I have loved you. What? You really loved us? In what way did you love us? They didn't have any feeling at all. They didn't even realize in what condition they were at that time. So many questions and so many situations. Don't think today our situation is better. I really doubt it. No wonder the Lord said one word. When the Son of Man comes back to this earth, will he find faith? You might say, oh, we believe in the Lord. Then I will ask you, in what way do you believe in the Lord? It's my turn to ask you the question. In what way? Are you obedient to him? Do you hear his speaking to you every day? Are you hungry for him? Do you obey him? Do you truly love him as your best love? We all should ask this question. We all should ask this question. And take a look at Revelation chapters 1 to 3. It is talking about the church's condition. The church's condition. So it is very important for us to hear what God is speaking to us, not doctrines. I know everybody loves doctrines. You don't really love God, but you love the teachings of the Bible. And you love to teach the Bible. It's your hobby. Doctrines, teachings, interpretation. Right. What about the teaching of the anointing? Yeah. Right. Is there an echo? No? I think there is a slight echo, right? Yeah. Right. How often does the Lord appear to you? How faithful are you to him? Right. What is your experience with him? If your experience is always growing, how come you're still the same year after year? How come we don't improve? We don't change? Right. So, may the Lord have mercy on us. Amen. We are living in a time of the Lord's second coming. If you just take a look at the whole situation today, and if your spirit is alive, and if the Lord is talking to you, you will realize that, hey, the Lord is coming very, very soon. Very, very soon. Yeah. So we need to be prepared. How many were prepared in the first coming of the Lord? You just tell me. Not too many. And how many do you think are prepared among the Christians for the second coming of the Lord? Many of them are thinking they're going to heaven, every one of them. They don't even need to be prepared. Right? A lot of people I heard from the internet, right, from many preachers saying, don't worry because we are all going to be raptured. So don't be afraid, don't worry, right? Right. We're all going to be taken up. Well, if you believe in such a way, then why do you need to prepare? If you and I are going to be taken up just because we're Christians, because we believe in the Lord Jesus, we are saved. Praise the Lord. Are you saved? Hallelujah. You'll be taken up.
I hope.
Well, why are you hope? Are you not a believer? Well, then you will definitely be taken up. Well, that's... Nobody cares what the Bible says. They care what the pastor says. They cared about the traditional teachings. But what are we teaching? Okay. Let's go to the outline to see what the Bible says. We talked about his first coming, right? He's the messenger of the covenant. Well, what he accomplished in his first coming was wonderful. Really wonderful for the redemption of the whole world. Right. He died on a cross as our sin offering. And not only ours. John says he's the propitiation for the sin of the whole world. That is why anyone today who receives the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. Saved from eternal judgment. Right? But you still need to be saved to the uttermost. I don't think too many Christians, including ourselves, take the word in Philippians chapter 2 seriously, that you and I, we must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Do you believe that? Yes. Are you in fear and trembling? No. We believe it. But you're not working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let me tell you, if we are not working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, God can do nothing. It's like a coin with two sides. On one side, God is working within you to will and to accomplish, right? But on the other hand, you and I, we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So these two sides must work together to work. To work. If not, in his second coming, you'll be in trouble. That is why let us go back to Malachi, huh? To Malachi chapter 3 concerning the Lord's coming. The Lord will come. But then Malachi said, but who can endure the day of his coming? We all love to see the Lord's coming because everybody thought, I'm saved, no problem. But Malachi says, who can endure the day of his coming in verse 2? And who can stand when he appears? Now, when he appears, it's his judgment seat. He's going to come with his judgment seat. And you and I have to give an account. Okay, what account are you going to give him? I don't mean your bank account, okay? You kept, definitely everybody kept a very clear bank account, in and out, and hopefully more in than out. But it is an account of your living, and especially the priests have to give an account. I cannot emphasize enough to all of you that a priesthood is so important in God's plan. You may not realize it. You don't even consider yourself a priest. A lot of Christians, if you tell them, oh, you're a priest, they say, oh, no, I'm not a priest. Oh, well, then if you're not a priest, who are the priests? The Roman Catholic Church, all of them, many of them are priests. They are called priests. I haven't seen any Christian group that call themselves the priests. Have you? The Pentecostal priests? The Baptist priests? Episcopalian priests? Oh, yeah, maybe they call themselves priests. I don't know if they do. But it doesn't matter what they call themselves. What about you? Are you a priest? Are you of the tribe of Levi? Yeah. This is a very important question because this speaking especially to the Levites, to the tribe of Levi. Yeah, who can stand when he appears? Now he says, for he is like a refiner's fire. He's coming, right, with the refiner's fire. Well, this is exactly what Paul says. Be careful how you build. Because if you build with wood, hay, and stubble, you'll be in trouble because the day, what kind of a day? The day of the Lord's coming will be like the fire to burn up everything that is burnable, so to speak. Stubble, wood, hay, all right? The flesh, whatever we use in our own means, it's going to be on fire. On fire, that means it's going to be burned. Destroyed fully by fire. Nothing will remain. You like that? Where did you think Paul got that? Then if you build with gold, silver, precious stones, these are the materials that are not afraid of fire, because the more fire, higher temperature you have, the more the gold will be refined and silver will be refined. So what are we building today? The last book in the seven churches there in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, right? In chapter 3, the Lord says, how much gold do you have? They thought they had. But the Lord says, no, you don't. You have to come to me and buy gold. Have you ever asked yourself how much gold you have? If I ask how much do you have in your bank account? Oh, you probably will know, more or less, approximately. But if I ask you today, how much of this refined heavenly gold do we have? What are you going to tell me? Or what are you going to tell him? And please tell me, how do you buy gold? I'd like to know, because I want to buy some. Right. So the Lord is going to be a refiner. Gold and silver doesn't come naturally in pure form. Especially silver. It needs much refining through fire to get rid of all the mixture. Otherwise, it's very difficult for you to weigh the gold. Right. This is God's way. And you and I, when the Lord comes, He's going to refine us. But you want to wait until He comes to refine you? No? No, when do you start? Are you sure? Are you exercised to be refined every day by the Lord? To take away all the mixture, to purge away all the leaven? You know why it is so important for the priesthood to keep the feast of the unleavened bread? Are you purging out all this mixture, the evil things in your mind, in your heart, in your being? Are you purging them out every day? Are you keeping the feast of the unleavened bread? Even today, okay, today. Have you done some purging today? You know, purging. Purging is not just blow away. You know what purging means? The launderer's soap. You know, you have so many stains there. You have to... You cannot just put some water and brush it away. No. You need some acid and some chlorine, and you bleach, and you to yeah. If I have a stain in my clothes and I try to get it off and I can't, I have to give it to my wife, and says, "You do it." She has a lot of bottles there. Spray it and do it and do it. Soak it and put it in a machine, and then all the stain will be gone. Right, the dirt. We only deal with the visible stain, okay? What about the invisible stain? You might think you're very clean, until you put it in the microscope. Then you'll be so surprised. Right. Well, our Lord is like a refiner of gold and silver. Don't think it is easy. Right. He's going to purify us. Sanctify us completely to the uttermost. If the Lord will ask you and me, how holy are you today? I don't think we can give Him an answer. if I ask you, how unholy are we? Oh yeah, you can give me some answer. Already he judges what's going on in our mind and right, in our heart. And many of the decisions we are making. Right. And how perfect are you? Timo, how perfect? Yeah. Saved to the uttermost. What about that? And how often do you really spend time in the Holy of Holies? I don't mean just reading the Bible. No. Right. Are you willing to let the Lord do the refining work? It is not easy because fire hurts. Do you like to touch fire? No. Nobody likes to be burned. You do? No one likes to be burned. But what can you do to be refined, to be purified? Right. Even if you have some gold within you, but it's mixture, the mixture. I just cannot describe it to you. Do you like mixture? What about your food, for example, that you eat? All of a sudden, some kind of a dirt entered in, or some kind of a defilement got into it. What? Or the cook's hair. You know, you go to a restaurant and all of a sudden you see the cook's nail there. His nail is there. Oh my goodness, are you still going to eat it? But why is it you're just eating anything from anybody, anywhere, any source? I always ask my wife, oh, is it edible? Oh, she's not very happy if I ask that. Of course I'm not going to give you anything that is not edible. Well, what about heavenly food? Do you just eat and take in anything without discernment, without first asking the Lord? You know, if my heart is not pure, I will take anything. Right? I'll take anything. But you're dealing with a holy God and a righteous God. This is why so many groups and so many Christians are in trouble today, because they believe anything. They eat anything. Even the dog that is my guest in the house, he doesn't eat anything, just anything you give him. No, you give him plastic, he's not going to eat it. But we Christians, we are so gullible. We believe anything except the truth. When the truth is spoken and it's sharp, it cuts into your heart and you don't like to hear it. Paul did say, when the time will come when they have no ear for the truth, but they will believe a lie. Look at people today, they believe all the lies. Right. So what about us? So why am I saying this? Because I want to stir up your heart to realize that we need the refiner's fire and we need the launderer's soap. Yeah. The fire is to remove the mixture. The soap is to clear out all the dirt. That's why you have to wash your hands, especially in a time of pandemic, how many times you wash your hands. And every time you touch your puppy, you have to wash your hands. That's why I don't touch that dog anymore, because every time I touch it, I lick my hand. I need to wash my hands. So don't touch things that you shouldn't touch. The Lord has to open our eyes to shine His light upon us. Otherwise, you don't know. You don't realize. The more the Lord purifies your heart, the more you realize, I shouldn't be touching this. I shouldn't be touching that. I shouldn't be thinking about this. I should stay away from certain things. But if your heart is not pure, you don't care, really. You don't really care. So, His second coming is for refining and judgment. But I do hope that today the Lord will already begin to refine us by His life, by His light shining, by exposing us, by disciplining us, that we don't have to go through fire. Right? By His grace, training us not to love the world. The Lord is not going to force you today, but in His second coming, you have no choice. But it's better to let Him do the refining. We call it salvation work. That's why we need to experience Christ in His humanity. That's why we need to experience the strength in our inner man to put off the old man and to put on Christ. To experience Christ as a sin offering, trespass offering. To receive light from Him today. We have to be open. Oh Lord, because in His second coming, no one can endure it if you're not ready. If you're not ready, no one can endure it. You may not feel it today. Just like people, the unbelievers, they don't believe it. But when a sixth seal is open, everyone from the top to the bottom will be so afraid and trying to hide wherever they could find to hide. And they couldn't hide. And they know, the great day of God's wrath is coming. Yeah. So, to purify and purge specially the sons of Levi. Wow. If you read Malachi chapter 3 there, right? Right. It says He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Praise the Lord. That's why today it's better we are saved to the uttermost. The Lord still has time to do it slowly, every day. Sitting there patiently. Purifier of silver. And He will purify the sons of Levi, especially those who are priests. The Lord have a special interest to sanctify, to purify. Yeah. I don't know. Among the Christians today, how many of them are talking about a real sanctification? that we should be holy and without blemish at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be sanctified completely, to be purged, to be changed into his likeness, to be conformed to his image, to be perfect as he is perfect. We all like to say no one is perfect. Yes, that's right, nobody's perfect. That's why you need to be perfected. Yeah, and you can be perfected. Right. I have written a couple of verses here, but we don't need to go through it, right? Because if we wait until his second coming, I can't even explain what's going to happen, right? But it is so wonderful. Today, he will purify the sons of Levi. Because this is a very special group of people for God. Their service unto the Lord is very, very special. And holiness, purity, and to be refined without any mixture. It's very important. Very, very important. And I can testify to you that no doctrine is going to purify you. Not teaching, not doctrine, not knowledge. But the Lord's dealing in your life and the Lord's exposure. The Lord using circumstances in a way, fiery trials. Do you realize that all of the apostles of the Lord went through severe trials and tests and tribulations. And at the end, they all ended up being martyrs. Right. We do not realize how impure our heart is. Yeah, we do not realize. This is why this book of Malachi is especially important. Right. Yeah. Amen. Oh Lord Jesus, he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them, amen, as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. You know, if we are not at least seeking to be right with God, just like in Isaiah chapter 1, God says, I'm not going to accept your offerings. Yeah, they're defiled. Because they are defiled, these people. Not just the offerings are defiled, the ones who are giving the offering, they are defiled. Even the Lord says, and your prayers, I'm not going to hear your prayers. Wow. Even your prayers, I'm not going to hear. You believe that God doesn't listen to certain prayers? Yeah, read chapter 1 again of Isaiah, right? Did you just read it? No, Isaiah. I'm talking about Isaiah chapter 1. Yeah. They didn't even know the Lord. Right? Even your Mercedes, they know who the master is. They know who the owner is. But God says, my people didn't know me. They were rotten from head to toes. They were rotten, corrupt. So that they, the sons of Levi, may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. That means the one who offers, not what you bring, but what you are. The one who offers, who brought the offering, must be in righteousness. That is why the sons of Levi has to be purged. Not the offering has to be purged. The sons of Levi, the offerer, the one who brings the offering, must bring it in righteousness. Wow, what a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. Well, I hope this will not discourage any one of us to bring. Why? Because we are still learning and we aspire to be cleansed. We want to keep the feast of the unleavened bread, the purge out of the leaven. We want to walk with God in peace and uprightness. We are learning. As long as you are learning, yes, that will be wonderful. As long as you're making progress. Well, just like you're not in college yet, are you? Oh, you're not doing PhD or master's, no? Okay, so what are you? Just give up. Don't do anything anymore. You are nothing. So forget about going to school, right? Is that right attitude? No, but you are moving up. Year after year, you're moving up, right? I remember when you were in preschool. But now you're in which grade now? Fifth. Wow. Pretty soon you're going to be in high school. And then you're going to college. As long as you are pursuing, Paul was not perfect yet. I told you yesterday. He says, not that I have already attained or were already perfected. Right? But he is going on. He's pursuing. As long as you are pursuing, this is good. Praise God. Right? So may the Lord encourage all of us. Amen. To be like the sons of Levi that are being purged. We are in the process of being sanctified. But if you're not in that process and you don't care and your relationship with the Lord is not right, then our offering is not in righteousness. Yeah. And then if the offerings of the sons of Levi are in righteousness, then the offering of the whole of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord. Hallelujah. How important the priesthood is. I think a lot of people probably will not be able to take this word because they don't even know they are priests. They don't even want to be a priest. They don't even like to practice the priesthood. It's okay. Right? I have told so many things and everywhere, do not force people to practice the priesthood. Right? Because, hey, you need to see what God wants. Right? Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old. In the days when Levi was normal, the tribe of Levi and Aaron's and their sons, they are really practicing the holiness, just like it says here, they are walking with him in righteousness and uprightness. And they kept the ordinance of the law, right? And all of that. But unfortunately, that was in former years. What about now? What about now? Right. Yep. Oh Lord, oh Lord. Yeah. Then the Lord will also come in his second coming to bring judgment for all the evildoers, both Jews and Gentiles, because they do not fear the Lord. You know how many times in Malachi it talks about the fear of the Lord? Do you fear him? Yes or no? Really? Okay. I believe you. We all need to fear him because he's God, especially in his second coming, right? If we do not fear him today, we do so many things that are against him, that offend him. We don't care, you know, what's going to happen. If we don't fear the Lord, there's judgment. There is judgment. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right. And the Lord says, I will be swift, a swift witness as a judge against sorcerers, against adulterers. Don't think adultery and fornication is not serious. The Lord says, he will judge them. Against perjurers, those liars, right, bearing false witness. Against those who exploit wage earners, right, who steal from others, who cheat other people, take advantage of people. Right, especially against those weaker ones, the widows and the orphans. And against those who turn away an alien who needs help. If someone truly needs help in the Lord, we need to help them. Yeah. Right. Not someone who pretend to need help. Yeah. You know, you need to be discerning. Otherwise, you'll be cheated. No, we need to be wise and discerning. And all of this, it is because they do not fear me. Look at what's happening today. Those people, they do not fear God. They even try to challenge God. They say, where is God? Look, we are doing all this crazy, evil thing and nothing happens to us. That's what happened to what the priests were also saying in those days. Look, nothing happened to them. And we are having to go through all these difficult times. Yeah. But the Lord is very wonderful, right? Very patient with us. Praise God. So I really hope that we will see the seriousness. Now, this is God's warning. Okay. This is God's warning. Yeah. But then the Lord told them, although I did not consume you, O sons of Jacob, right? That you not consume, but yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances. You have not kept them. You know, how long did the Lord have to wait? You tell me. He is so patient. If we were the one, I think we would have just forget about them. My patience is just so short. I don't know, maybe 1 centimeter long. Perhaps even shorter sometimes. How long is your patience? Oh, okay, 1 millimeter. And the Lord said to them, "Return to me." This is a wonderful word. Can you imagine how much the Lord loved us and was very patient with us? And I must testify to you, He is really very patient. Return to me, and I will return to you. Does it sound like turning the heart of the father to the children and the disobedient one to the wisdom of the just? This is exactly what it is. Return to me, and I will return to you. Don't give up hope. Anytime, return to him. And God said that also through the prophets, to his many prophets, to Isaiah. He says, return to me, and I will return to you. There is always a chance for us, as long as it is today, in the age of grace, to return to him. But don't wait until the last minute, because you're going to miss out a lot. Time is very important for us to gain Christ. Right. This is a very precious, short word. Very precious. Return to me. Make a U-turn. You know, I'm so glad that in the city around here, there are so many possibilities to make U-turn. If you miss one turn, there's a next turn. And if you miss the next turn, there's another turn. There's always another turn, but don't keep on missing it. Right? Because the further you go, the more time you need to come back. I love this word. Return to me. Sweet words. You know, although God is so strict and his speaking was so strong to them, and it's necessary. If it is not strong, you will not change. You will not return. You will not turn. And you still think you're right. You know, I gave a testimony one time many years ago when I was in Los Angeles driving. I was driving there, and the Spirit told me, "You're in the wrong direction," because I was going north instead of going south or the other direction, right? And the Holy Spirit, the anointing within me, really told me, "Turn. You're in the wrong direction." I said, no, it cannot be. I'm not in the wrong direction. Why should I turn? So I just kept on driving until finally I thought, where am I? I looked at the signs and looked at the signs, and I thought, goodness sake, I'm wrong. And then I had to go further a couple of miles before I went to the next exit, and then I have to turn back, and I had to drive a long way to go back. That is what happened if I don't listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Because at that time, in the church life, then I told the Lord, I want to experience you speaking. If you're truly indwelling in me, right, and you're teaching me all things, including driving, right? So teach me all things. And then he taught me, but I didn't listen. I kept on driving until finally I have to repent and to return and to wait until I reach the next exit and then turn back. Return to me. Praise the Lord. Don't give up. We are not perfected yet. We make mistakes. But hey, there's always a chance to make a U-turn. Right? Remember this word. Return to me, and I will return to you. Isn't that wonderful? Right? It's not just return to me, but I will return to you. Oh, that's wonderful, right? This is wonderful. But you said this. Again, but you said, in what way shall we return? Why should we return? Now, this is a problem. This is really a problem. No, don't wait. Don't harden your heart. Learn to repent, to confess. Just like what 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even in chapter 2, if anyone sin, we have Jesus Christ the righteous before the Father. We have an advocate, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Right? So learn to quickly repent. Don't wait. The faster you do it, the better it is. But unfortunately, we said, in what way shall we return? That means, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not wrong. I'm driving in the right direction. What are you talking about? Why should I turn? If we think we are right, then you will not return. You don't need to repent if you think you are right. And so you just keep on going the way you're going. If you do this, you'll be in trouble. Then the next problem here. Will a man rob God? God asked them a question. Do you dare to rob God? Not just you don't dare to rob God, you shouldn't dare to rob anybody, right? Let alone robbing God. But these people, they're robbing God by not giving to God what is due to him. And God will have to ask them this question. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, he said. Ah, my Lord. Then again, they asked the question, they talked to God, they even answered God. In what way have we robbed you? What are you talking about, we robbed you? In what way? God says, in the tithes and offerings. Tithes, right? The best of the produce of the land, the wine, the oil, the corn, right? All of these, a tenth of it must be given to God. God says it belongs to me because there's so much need in the temple, in the house of God. So many Levites. Remember, the Levites, they don't have an inheritance. God is their inheritance. They didn't have a piece of land, right? Because they're doing a lot of services in the temple. Now, but unfortunately, this matter of tithing became a big problem. became a big, big problem. First of all, it is not the temple of God, it's a man-made organization. So who are you giving it to? To God or to the organization so that they can build bigger buildings? The meeting hall that I've seen there in Vancouver one time, somebody brought me to their meeting hall. There is basketball court, right? There is a gym. Pretty soon, my goodness. Right. You think in the temple of God, God will use the tithe to build a tennis court so that the priests in their free time can play tennis? Pool table? Yeah, how about that? Basketball court, beautiful, nice basketball court. And that guy who was giving me a tour was so boastful. Look, what a wonderful meeting hall we have. Yeah, amazing. Right. Are you going to support that? Yes, whatever God blessed you, you need to give it back to God. But you have to give it in discernment. Because we just have a piano here. It's Yamaha. For God, we need a Steinway. How about that? You think God will need a Steinway? At the end, my goodness, this organization have so many buildings, and even I know of an organization who even built a very big and tall building in the center of a financial center, in the financial center of a certain city in the Far East. And they rent the first to Citibank. Is that tithe? And then they ask money from the saints. And if you don't have money, you just give an IOU, a pledge. Goodness sake. You think God wants Aaron and his sons to be billionaires? These pastors have 3 jets. 2 is not enough. He has 3 jets, and he needs 1 jet that doesn't have to have a stopover. How about that? And Aaron must have a Mercedes-Benz, Maybach. And his sons must have Beamers. How about that? And fly first class. Today, what are you going to do? Tithing? The proper tithing is right. But whatever you own belongs to God. You are a steward. Don't waste the money. Don't just throw it away. Right? Don't try to make Aaron rich. And his sons. Make the organization so big. No. But you are a faithful steward. Help the poor. It's much better than making Aaron rich. Because if you make Aaron rich, you're going to spoil him. You think so? You think it's not true? Yeah. Did the Lord build a big meeting hall? Where did he meet? On a mountain. Mountain view. Right? Find a mountain there, we'll meet there. Right. Meet in the homes. Be simple. Be simple. Praise the Lord. Right? And what you have, you are a steward. You are a good steward of the Lord. Right. And you ask the Lord, where is the need? We want to help, right, this and that, whatever is of you. Yes. This is the tithe thing. Right. But it's not like what people are saying, hey, we even need to audit your book, okay? Jehovah's Witness and Mormons, they will go to your house, they send their own auditor. And they show me your book and your bank account and 10%. How about that? You better lock your door. Because they will go door knocking. Here comes the auditor. No. Right. This is not the way. No. But you give to God what God wants from you, and that's it. Actually, whatever we have belongs to Him. Yeah. And look at Paul. Okay? Paul did not ask for anything. He didn't even ask for support. He trusts in God. Yeah. Right. God is our inheritance. God is your inheritance. Why are you worried? So, but we all need to learn to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to give to God what belongs to God. Right? You pay your taxes, right? Yeah, because otherwise they come knocking at your door. But you give to God what belongs to God. This is normal. This is normal. Right. I don't like to get into that, but you have to realize today's situation is not normal anymore. Because of what people are giving. Hey, look, I'll give you an example. Sorry, it's almost 6 o'clock. Look at that crystal cathedral. How many Christians has poured money into that Christian cathedral? And after a certain period of time, the whole group collapsed. And they have to sell that meeting hall, and you know who bought it? The Roman Catholic Church bought it. All, the German will say, all for the cats. Alles für die Katze. We are not like this, no. No. We have to know the Lord and to give what is due to Him, but not just do it unwisely, without discernment, without asking Him. Yeah, praise the Lord. Then the Lord says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, His house. If it is not His house, don't give anything. Yeah. That there may be food in my house. Praise the Lord. And that's good enough, food. He didn't say that there will be a big, big, big account. No, God doesn't need that. So that there will be food in the house. That's good enough, right? Isn't that good enough if there's food? You need to be a billionaire? You need 10 cars? You need 2 Mercedes? No, you don't. Right? Especially in God's house, it doesn't need. But just to meet the need, and that's good enough. Otherwise, everything will be fallen, I tell you, will be corrupt. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of hosts. Everything belongs to him. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will be not room enough to receive it. Praise God. The Lord will bless you in many, many ways. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He will rebuke the rats, the raccoon, and he will rebuke the locusts and the beetles and the mice. They will leave your garden alone. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. But let me tell you, all these blessings will be spiritually heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus. Amen. And there will be spiritual food in God's house. Amen. God's food in his house will come from all the saints. Isn't it wonderful? There will be enough spiritual food, real spiritual food for everybody. Amen. 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 So, it is 6 o'clock. We stop here. So, don't rob God. Do not rob him. And don't rob from anybody. Praise the Lord, yeah. The Lord is really, really wonderful. Right. But I tend to believe that what we need today in the house of God is the real spiritual food. And every one of us can contribute something. Because we are now the sons of Levi. When we come to the Lord's table, everybody comes prepared. You have this word concerning the feast of the unleavened bread, and somebody else come to the meeting prepared for the feast of the first fruits. Hallelujah. And then you come with wonderful preparation for the feast of the Passover. Right? You bring some wonderful barley, and then some brought in the day of Pentecost, this harvest of wheat. So we can bring all this wonderful spiritual food. And then in the last harvest, in the last 3 feasts, my, we can all bring something to the meeting. You're enjoying the Feast of the Tabernacles. Everybody is enjoying this and enjoying that without anyone forcing you to do it. You do it because you like to bring something to God. You like to contribute something to the house of God. You like to bring food to the house of God, don't you? You like to bring an offering to the Father. These are all food. The burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, wave offering, heave offering. Wow. Sin offering, trespass offering, drink offering. Don't you like to bring all this food? Oh, would you like to just hear somebody standing here and speak a message, and you all just sit there and falling asleep? Everybody can bring something. That's why many times, and you can all testify it, I encourage you, be prepared. Prepare something. Right? It'll be wonderful meetings. The meeting will be so rich. But we say, what can we bring? Right. No. Bring food to God's house. Who is a faithful and wise servant who would prepare what? Food in due season to God's household. It's good to prepare food. Right? Can you imagine if everybody prepares a little bit? It does not have to be much, okay? You have 7 days to prepare. Beginning Sunday afternoon, first day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You can prepare some food. It's the heart that counts. Right? Then the church will be blessed by the Lord because there's so much food. Okay? Then the meeting will be so rich. Amen. Yep. Amen. Then we will be a blessing to so many people. Right. A lot of seeking ones, when they come and they see so much spiritual food, they are satisfied. God is satisfied. We are satisfied, and God will be glorified. Isn't that a good way? Amen. Why is it a good way? Because it is God's way. Because it is God's way. You know, I'm not kidding. Let me just give you a very brief experience of this matter of the priesthood. That was a few years back in 2014, somewhere in June or July. Yeah, somewhere around that time. I was in Bangkok for a conference, and well, I was invited to go to another place after Bangkok. And I was complaining to God. I said, oh, God, how come, you know, you should have given them some brothers that can really bear the burden of the ministry of God's word, right? Ministry of the new covenant. To make the long story short, God rebuked me. The Father rebuked me. And what makes you think that is the way? You came from a group that has a person who claims he's the ministry of the new covenant, and he's the apostle, and he's the oracle of God. And there are so many messages given. And what happened? Now you tell me what happened. Much blessing. Well, if you count money and numbers as blessing, then okay, well, I have nothing to say. But where is the building? I have to repent. And the Lord told me very clearly, what I need is the real priesthood. That's how it started. Praise God.
in July.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
This is the truth. The Lord is my witness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.